Hey, Brenna.
Hi, Maureen.
So, I was out of town the past weekend. Well, I got to hang out with my partner's mom's cat named Mochi.
Mochi!
Yeah, she sheds more than all of my animals put together.
Oh, my God. And well, she is just...
My animals aren't shedding like this. I don't know. She's just a lady who wants
to leave her mark on the world.
She does. And she basically made me a new sweater.
That was so generous of her.
It was very generous of her. She's so little and sweet, and I just love her so much. So we had to fly on a plane to Ohio, and capitalism has made me very nervous about planes.
Which is valid. It's a valid fear, you know.
Yeah. But we went there. We saw the total eclipse, like the eclipse totality. It was super cool, but I won't belabor that because we're not to that book yet.
It was super cloudy here.
That's a bummer.
Oh, I wasn't I wasn't even close to. I remembered seeing it back at your place way back in when.
Yeah, we did the cereal boxes or whatever. I think it was probably more like Rice-A-Roni boxes.
We definitely were looking at the shadows more so than through that box. The box kind of worked.
Yes. But this was the total one, which is a game changer. Like, it was
that's really awesome. Cool.
But anyways, we had to leave all of our pets at home.
Right.
With our regular sitter, friend of the podcast, Nicola. Hey.
Ooh, Nicola.
Sorry, my dog vomited all night every night. But that is what he did.
I think anyone who, I mean, I've never sat these current pets of yours.
Yes.
Only Amira. And to be fair,
yes, you have.
I was only kind of there. No, it was Amira when you were at my house.
It was when I was staying at your house, but then we both left your house and had to have Bern come over.
And poor Bern
and that's
had
when Amira
to
got herself
Bern
stuck
and
behind
Olivia, my roommate, had to get her from behind the fridge. So,
yeah, but Amira was the angel of this trip. She was the perfect angel baby girl and did nothing wrong. Pal was a little bit of a tool, but that's how he is. But mostly I just felt really bad, because our friend was also moving. And then they, you know, are trying to sleep and our dog's vomiting all over. And I think it was just stress. He was just so stressed that we were gone.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't eat his nighttime snack, which keeps him from vomiting in the middle of the night usually.
Oh, no.
And, that was a mess. And, so as an apology, while we were out at the farm, we did find, a deer carcass.
Oh, wow.
And it even had, a full, what's it called? Coccyx?
Sure.
It had the full coccyx with a tail, and it was still attached. So that was cool.
Oh, wow.
So it can wiggle. Mm-hmm. So we boxed up all the bones, and those are on its way here to tip our pet sitter.
Wow.
As like an extra bonus tip.
That's cool. I'm not against bones, but wow, I wouldn't have like found bones and been like, I know exactly what to do with these. Like, so I'm...
Luckily we do, because our dear friend Nicola is a zoologist and loves all bits of animals. So once that comes, that'll go to them as an apology for my children.
Sorry for the vomit. Here's bones.
Yeah. It's they cure all ails. But since I had to go on a plane and I was nervous about going on a plane, I was excited because I did get to read the newest Warrior Cats book on the plane.
Ooh.
And man, I'll say, so this is Warrior Cats, A Starless Clan, Book 5, Wind. It was a little thin. It's a little thinner than the other books in this series. Clocked that right away. But I enjoyed the heck out of reading it. I just really enjoyed this book. There were just a lot of great things in this book. It feels topical. The characters actually feel relatable, like to like real life instances. And I gotta say, I like the cat politics as opposed to the cat magic. Like, I love me some good cat politics. And I just thought I had a great time.
Good for you.
So I'm excited to one day get to series, gosh, what is that, series 8 with you? Because, yeah, I just feel like this. So for the past couple arcs, we've seemed to have, like, the first three are kind of like bangers. And then the last three kind of piddle out. But this one, it feels like they actually took all 6 books into account and, like, actually, like, built up the story.
Okay.
So that, like, book 5 feels like the culmination of events is coming for book 6. So I just, like, I really appreciated that, where it's like, oh, you know, we kind of had a slower build up. But I prefer that to, you know, like, we get into it quick and then we just kind of forget about it.
Yeah.
So, like, it feels like the buildup is, like, actually paying off. And, yeah, so, I mean, if you haven't caught up on the newest book, highly recommend. Squirrel Girl was great in it. I loved her every minute, and she was in it a lot, so loved that, too.
All right.
Have you read anything?
I have. I was just going to say, I have no opinion on this. I've never read it. I can't read it.
One day I'll tell it to you.
Yes, someday we'll cover it. So I actually read this graphic novel called Mexikid, a graphic memoir by Pedro Martin. And I've actually been getting his TikToks for a while. He has, like, I think it's a daily and or weekly comic that he posts both on TikTok and I think, like, on Instagram. It's not this, but this is a memoir of him and his 11 siblings. Sorry. 11 family members. Hold on. Let me just go to the guide real quick.
I love a good guide in a book.
9 kids, 2 parents, so 11 person family. All of them going to Mexico in the 1970s to get his grandfather to convince him to, like, hey, you should come live with us. You know, because you are ancient, like, this man was in the Mexican Revolutionary War or adjacent to it, as they
Dang.
Say. So it's, and it's also, like, him, like, kind of dealing with being, like, kind of a weird kid. You know, he's really into comics and superheroes and action figures, and none of his siblings are really into that. And he's the barrel one, so he's the bigger one of everyone. And it's just kind of, it is a good sort of not quite coming of age story, because he is, like, very young in this, but also is, like, coming into yourself a bit and coming into your identity.
Yeah.
And genuinely very sweet. And gorgeous art. Like, I really love the way he sort of intersperses old, like, comic styles to show, like, flashbacks
That's of, like, his super fun.
Grandfather, but also still managed to really have very, like, comical and light expressions and jokes. So it's parts of the story get really serious. I won't spoil it, but obviously it's dealing with you know, family things, but I will say, yeah. I would say it's a pretty accessible one if you're interested. Well, are you shall ready? We? Yeah.
Yeah. Because I'm Ember Heart.
And I'm Tangletongue.
And this is Warrior Cats.
What is that?
All right. Where were we?
Okay. So last episode, we did the switcheroo with approval. We got that big old thumbs up that we were desiring.
Yeah, from Grandpa.
Yeah, Grandpapa said, it is okay. You guys can switch your majors. You have my blessing.
A little baffled how this all worked out so well.
Right, but he was, right, like, he was a little... the sad news was our beautiful Brightheart, who just cannot catch a break in this story or in really this entire book series so far. did lose her mentor or her mentee.
But she's been promised either Ice Kit or Fox Kit.
Yes, there was a follow-up promising her that. And we got our new mentor as I was about to say Ruby. That's not her name.
Excuse me.
As Hollypaw. And that is Brackenfur. And he's just been running a lot. And I believe after we ran and just got real tired with him, we went to see and check in to see how J-Paw's doing. And J-Paw is...
not having a great time.
Yeah, I feel like he's like almost in the same situation where he's like, wow, no one thinks I can do anything. Again.
Cool.
But like...
love it.
But Leafpool was definitely, I think, visibly... trying, like, she was so much so trying to hold back from being like, it is his destiny, when she was assigned him as her apprentice, that Hollypaw picked up on it, which I would say both Hollypaw and Lionpaw have been noted in their narrative to not have the same sort of like uber like hyper awareness of people's emotions that J-Paw obviously has, which I think is a superpower, because I think blind people around the world would be able to tell us, hey guys, I can feel your emotions. Like, I feel like that is not a thing that comes with the blindness, you know?
Yeah, you can kind of maybe infer that might relate to power of three and holding power of the stars in your paws.
It's interesting because it's a little bit, it echoes a little bit of what Yellowfang had. Not him feeling their pain, but, and also a bit of what his mom has with his and Leafpool. So, but
yeah, his is just a little more, he's more powerful.
And it's almost like it reminds me a bit of, to get into D&D a bit, it reminds me of when you do like a mind probe or like detect thoughts in D&D, where you can choose to like go further into their mind. Cause he literally tried to do that with Leafpool and was like, there's something blocking me. I can't get in there. His Professor X powers didn't quite let him infer. But yeah, but I think what were we doing? Picking ticks? No, we were putting poultices on poorly.
Yeah. Well, but right now we're about to go to the Half Moon.
Oh, right.
Meeting. Yeah. J-Paw gets to be presented as an official Medicine Cat apprentice, something Hollypaw didn't get to do.
And we get I don't remember her name, but she lost her girlfriend.
Willowpaw.
Yeah.
So Leafpool starts off and J-Paw follows. So we are going, we're going to the moon pool. As they near Wind Clan, J-Paw starts to feel anxiety. What if the other medicine cats thought a blind kit wasn't fit to be among them?
Oh. Here I am thinking he's actually going to feel like nervous for like a normal... I mean, this is a normal reason, excuse me. I guess this, like, I
for
thought,
him, yes.
I thought we were about to retread some, you know, like every... I feel like every medicine cat that we've had the benefit of going into their tail has had... has had like a moment of like, oh, it's my first time to the moon pool, like, you know, either.
But J-Paw's already been to the moon pool like twice,
right? So it's his nerves would, yeah, that makes sense.
His nerves are about meeting.
He's literally
the other
been to heaven
cats.
And hell.
Yeah, he's like been there, done that.
This dude has
now. I have to face actual people
further than any live medicine cat that we've seen.
Yeah, he's powerful. That Spotted Leaf says Star Clan fears for him.
Yeah, I mean, the spotted Starkling thief, we only seen him. Her in the dark forest after she's died, and, like, she got to get, like, a permission slip to do it.
Yeah. And
which is crazy because they didn't know about it until last week.
Yeah, and Tiger Star and Hawk Frost were like, did J-Paw get permission? And the answer is that he doesn't need permission. He's powerful.
Walls can't keep him in.
Nope.
I'm trying to think of a song that could go on his playlist.
But social anxiety can.
Well, I feel like this anxiety is well placed because, let's be fair, he has not been welcomed in a lot of places. Like, the most welcomed he's been is by his siblings.
Yeah.
So I think it's fair that he's like, ah, crap.
Oh, Deb. I mean, his first battle as a warrior apprentice, the other team literally started calling him out, even though he's done nothing wrong and, like, just started.
Yeah.
So yeah, you
they were really punching down. Understand. Literally punching down.
Oh yeah, in the worst way. So J-Paw sends Mothwing and Willowpaw because he recognizes them from their visits to ThunderClan. And he also smells Shadow Clan, which brings back the raw memories of the battle. So he's not over that.
Why? Who? He shouldn't be. That was super gross.
He shouldn't.
What he did.
Yeah.
And yeah, and it hurt.
Yeah.
And it hurt his pride a bit because honestly, I mentioned this. It was like, I wish we could have seen him excel, and like he genuinely did not do bad at his first battle.
No, he did not. But I wish we could have seen him excel in, like, other places, like hunting, which they kind of hinted at, and, you know, like, patrolling. We saw him, you know, pick up on scents before other cats or hear other cats coming.
Yeah, but for him, it was, like, it sucked because he had to rely on his brother, which is, like, literally what he's never wanted. So,
yeah. And, you know, like Holly Paul said, you know, well, we all rely on our clanmates, but, you know, J-Paw's like,
it's very much different, and it's...
It is.
It's fair for him to be like, it's different. Because it is.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so, Medicine Cat meeting. Leafpool greets Mothwing, who responds with a purr, and they make small talk before Leafpool greets Little Cloud and asks if all is well with him. J-Paw bristles.
I know I've never seen Little Cloud, but I can only imagine Little Cloud is just a tiny cat. Like, not maybe, like, he doesn't have feline dwarfism, but or is he just huge?
That would be funny, wouldn't it?
Just he's a giant poof ball of a white Angorian, just like, hello, it is me, Little Cloud. And then, but I always, like, see him as just,
he's
like,
described as, like, hello. A tabby, I think. He's, like, a brown and white tabby.
Cute.
Oh, he could still be a fluffy cloud.
He's a little cloud because he has a little cloud on him.
Oh, maybe. Maybe he is short. Maybe he is kind of small. J-Paw bristles. Shadow Clan had just invaded, and he doesn't understand how Leafpool can be so polite to her clan's enemy.
You got a long way to go, kid.
Well, Little Cloud says he's well and asks if Leafpool's clanmates have recovered. And J-Paw searches his tone for triumph, but only finds concern. All wounds but one have healed, Leafpool says. And Shadow Clan? Oakfur is still limping. Which, like, good, because Oakfur was being such a tool.
Mm-hmm.
But Leafpool recommends that he wrap Oakfur's paw in comfrey each night while he sleeps. Little Cloud had run out. Leafpool says he should have come to them, but Blackstar won't let him. So Leafpool promises to leave some at the border tomorrow morning. And J-Paw can't believe what he's hearing.
To be totally fair, this is the weirdest part of their relations. This is... It also... And maybe it's just because I'm older now and I'm paying closer attention to international politics than ever before. For no reason. It is... This is though kind of how it goes, you know?
Yeah.
There are definitely, like, countries that, like, are like, we may not see eye to eye, but Well, you guys aren't doing good. Here you go.
We'll provide aid. Yeah, it's kind of more like you're fighting other people, but we'll also...
It's the rule of wars that should be followed. Yeah. It's international law that should be followed. It's like, yeah, those are things you can do, but can't do these things.
And so these are doctors, and their Hippocratic Oath says, you know, that...
Right, exactly.
Healing cats comes before... Mm-hmm. Clan rivalries.
Which is a rule that did have to be established.
Yep.
It's because of things that went bad. So, and it's the same reason, like, kits are, like, if you're a medicine cat, you always have to help a kit, right? Or is it...
Yeah.
Is it... Because
everybody has to help a kit. If anything's wrong with a kit, you gotta help a kit.
Is it medicine cats have to help everyone? Or...
Yeah.
Okay. I got those two conflated.
Well, but J-Paw sees this as Leafpool helping ThunderClan's enemies. And, like, does Firestar know?
God, I hope he does.
I guess it'd be...
It's confusing, it is especially something. If you've never been there directly.
Yeah, and having... He's been training as a warrior, so he's only had the warrior perspective.
Very open about their practices. I mean, yeah, everyone, like, accepts their duties, but, like, I would say most of the time, like, look at what happened in Shadow Clan. They were so misunderstood, like, their role was so misunderstood that they thought, oh, yeah, I mean, you guys don't have to do, like, we don't need to look for herbs. what are you doing? Like, what do you mean you need supplies to heal us? Just heal us, you know? And I feel like that was not an unreasonable step to go towards, and because I feel like that happens in ThunderClan, too, sometimes, like... Unless you're there. Once again, there should be at least a field trip. Like, I know I've talked about having, like, dual education, but, like, maybe just a field trip to the medicine clan. Or not medicine clan, sorry, to the medicine den. Just so, like, you know, hey, this one will kill you. Or if you see this one, give me a holler if you're out hunting.
But I also think here we're seeing medicine cats being more connected than they were before.
Oh, because of the journey.
Because of the journey, but more specifically, Little Cloud kind of owed his life you know, basically credited his career to Cinderpelt. So those two were very close. And then Leafpool and Mothwing, well, you know, Leafpool and Mothwing. Leafpool helped train Willowpaw even. So I think we're seeing kind of a shift in medicine cat culture where they are being more open with each other than they were before.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, Yellow Fang, when we saw her, which, you know, that comes obviously after these books, but if we're talking, if we're looking at this as a linear timeline, you know, she wouldn't tell the other medicine cats about what was happening in Shadow Clan. She would not ask for help. Whereas now, you know, Leafpool's like, I'm going to leave some herbs at the border after your leader said you couldn't ask me for help.
Honestly, I think that is one of the situations where we find where the kind of the, not quite, I can't think of a different word, but like not the retcon, but you know what I mean? Like the way that these, the order these books were written, where the past came much later than what is actively happening.
Yes.
It works actually because the fact that, I mean, I feel like the journey that happens so early in the second series that that idea kind of was in their mind to sign kind of, maybe they were setting that up a bit in the past. They're like, well, we can make these medicine cat relations different because they were different in the first series. We didn't really explore it at all in the first series.
Yeah.
I suppose the missing, the warrior life is what they're struggling to kind of define, and I guess Star Clan. But to be fair, those weren't explored really as thoroughly in the first or second series, so they can have a little fun with them.
Yeah. Well, a soft pelt brushes J-Paw's. It's Willowpaw.
Hi.
Where's Hollypaw? She asks quietly. And J-Paw notes that she seems disappointed to have gotten him instead.
No chance, no way, I won't say you know, no. She swoons, she sighs, why deny it? Oh.
Didn't she know, J-Paw hisses. Hollypaw found it so boring being a medicine cat, she let her poor, useless brother do it instead.
J-Paw, no one's even said anything!
Like,
J-Paw, literally no one has said a thing to you!
Willow Paw flinches. Well, I guess maybe it's like, girl, this girl was not disappointed to see you. She was disappointed because Holly Paw wasn't there. She was in love with
your sister. Bro, have you seen her? She's a cutie. I guess it's fair. You wouldn't look at her that way.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't seen her.
Oh, God, right. He's not. Oh, Jesus.
Brenna. Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm no better than Bright Heart. Oh my God. Even considering like that slight in her voice, that was harsher than I thought. That was
right.
Mean. Like I get like there are situations where he's been kind of like you know, rude or a bit abrupt with purpose because people are, you know, not fair to him. She had a slightly off tone. That's like if the grocery greeter was like, "Hi, welcome to Target," and I said, "I hope your cat dies." Like, what kind of energy are we coming here with? Or actually, not that. It's like, "Oh yeah, welcome to Target. I didn't come in here, did you?"
I'm too poor to shop anywhere else.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, Leafpool sees that Willowpaw's getting to know her new apprentice, which...
All right, Leafpool, always looking at the positive side. And Willowpaw's like, yeah, really great job picking a second... Like, she's like, you know, I wasn't gonna, like, judge you or anything, and I'm still not gonna judge you because you're blind. I am gonna judge you because you're a jerk.
All eyes land on J-Paw as Leafpool introduces him. J-Paw stares back, ready to challenge any comment about his blindness. Mothwing says hello, and Little Cloud asks how he's enjoying being an apprentice.
Because they are both a delight.
J-Paw feels the anxiety pulse through Leafpool because she's afraid that he's going to say it's boring. It's great, J-Paw says. Leafpool sounds relieved, and she says J-Paw's a fast learner. He already knows all the herbs already. Really? Little Cloud asks, clearly impressed.
Are we missing someone?
A new scent.
Oh.
Huh?
Hey. I literally said, are we missing someone?
Yeah. A new scent catches J-Paw by surprise. WindClan. Little Cloud calls to Barkface as he approaches.
That's who it is, Barkface. I bet Barkface is not going to be great about this.
Well, Little Cloud asks where Kestrel Paw is. He's come down with White Cough.
No! That's such a cool name to hold on to someone who's about to die!
Barkface says that he's young and strong. He'll fight it off. But he's making sure it doesn't spread. With prey scarce and bellies empty... The clans are vulnerable to sickness. So yeah, Kestrel Paw couldn't make it, but
Kestrel Paw's such a sick name, he better not die.
Huh. They start off towards the moon pool as a group. Mothwing tells Willow Paw to talk with J-Paw. She's sure he'll have plenty of questions about the moon pool. J-Paw doesn't say that, like, he's been here before, like, on his own.
Willowpaw's like, I actually would rather, I don't want to talk to this guy. I said, where is Hollypaw? I said three words to him. And, the dude came with me with such sour energy. My mouth curdled. Like, I...
Willowpaw falls in beside J-Paw, but keeps a wary distance. Has Leafpool brought him here? Willowpaw asks, sounding like she really does not want to talk to him.
It's not because you're blind. It's not because you're blind. It's because she liked your sister, and you were terrible to her, dude. I don't know how... Like, I'm...
He didn't make a great first impression.
No.
Maybe he can change that.
I hope so. That's going to be your J-Paul
is about to say that he... J-Paul is about to say that he's traveled here alone when Willowpaw grabs his scruff without warning and drags him sideways. He struggles free from her grip and turns on her, and he launches with unsheathed claws.
I love this. He is doing a great job making a beautiful first impression. I don't think this could have gone better. I can't believe that your future sister-in-law, she's about to get beat up by her future brother-in-law because she, was he about to like trip and fall into the moon pool?
J-Paw, what are you doing? Leafpool shrieks. He almost fell down a rabbit hole, Willowpaw wails. She was just trying to help him.
Willowpaw, honey, good job, but you should have used your words. It is kind of rude to just grab someone, you know, whether they can see or not. Just don't grab people.
Yeah, like, you don't grab somebody's wheelchair and just start going. Like,
exactly.
That's a big no-no.
I think it's like...
So, like...
You always ask. You're like, hey...
Always ask.
Hey, there's some potholes coming up. Would you like a hand? And if they're like, no, I walk here every single day. I know the potholes better than you. Then you can be like, so sorry.
J-Paw lets go. Shame burning his ears. He didn't know. He snaps. And he wonders to himself why she tried to help him. He's not a kit. Apologize at once, Leafpool orders. But he knew the hole was there, J-Paw retorted, and it was true. He'd smelled the strong scent of rabbit and felt the approaching dip with his paws. He says he didn't need help. Leafpool hisses that that's no excuse. Apologize.
Yeah, I mean, if someone grabs your wheelchair or any part of you, you can punch them. But, like, you could get in legal trouble.
Yeah. And, like, if your mom is there, she probably won't approve.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Like, I approve. But, like...
J-Paw mutters that he's sorry. It's okay, Willowpaw growls. Next time, she hopes he falls in. She pads past him, flicking her tail past his nose. So, Willowpaw knows where she stands now.
Hoofta. Yeah, she,
But
that could have been handled better by both people.
Although, I gotta respect, she's just like, fine, I won't help you ever again.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, kudos. I mean, she's like, all right, boundary has been set. Bye forever. Oh man, this is gonna suck in the future when they're both medicine cats. Oh, what do you need? I can't think of an herb. You need this herb that I have, stockpiles of? Suffer. I would love it if she held a crutch, but still loves his sister.
Keep up, J-Paw, Leafpool says, and he feels the flash of her anger. But it wasn't his fault. Willowpaw had started it. So J-Paw follows Willowpaw, ignoring the trail of resentment left in her wake. And he concentrates on what the older cats are saying. J-Paw wants to hear where every single plant is located that would be useful to his clan, no matter where it was.
I love how he's bringing that Hollypaw energy into this.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I am going to be the best at this.
He is. Well, he's listening so hard that he doesn't hear the stream or notice the ground turn from grass to rock.
Dude.
The stone was icy, and suddenly his paws slip from under him. Willowpaw lunges towards him, then stops herself abruptly.
She's like, she's so used to being, like, nice that she's like, wait, no, I'm not helping you anymore.
So Willowpaw watches J-Paw slither ungracefully onto his side and waits without saying a word.
That's what you get, man. I mean, she crossed... Listen.
I love these two. I understand.
It's fair that no... Okay, no one in any of the clans is at all disability informed, like even slightly. And
no,
you know, most abled folks, we aren't. We, you know, so yeah, it was kind of crazy that she just grabbed you without saying anything, but it was also crazy you to punch her in return. And then, you know, I gotta put respect on her for being like,
oh, yeah,
actually, no.
Right. I just,
the fact that she had to catch herself.
This is great. I mean, yeah, she caught herself. And you know, I mean, someone's going to have to humble J-Paw eventually.
And that might just be J-Paw himself.
Yeah, most likely. So hot with embarrassment, J-Paw struggles back up. Ooh. Willowpaw continued on, not even slowing down as he limped after her. Well, J-Paw feels a flash of admiration at her stubborn refusal to help. So, like, he's into it.
I mean, I feel like the siblings probably, if we don't have at least one kind of, like, not like, suggested love triangle, not saying that that's going to happen. I really don't think J-Paw has time for crushing on people.
No, J-Paw does not have time.
So, I...
But J-Paw likes people who keep it real with them.
Yeah.
You know?
I just gotta and say, it's like, I just realized...
I punched you, so you didn't want to help me? That makes sense.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I just realized we maybe lost out on a storyline there. But maybe we benefited in the end of, like, J-Paw not having a mate, or, like, having to really consider a mate.
Well, he's not allowed to. He's a nun.
No, I know, but I'm saying if he had stick to the warrior path...
Oh, yeah.
I could have seen this been very... interestingly handled by the Aarons. anyway, I'd like how this is going terribly for him.
Yes.
Literally everyone else. Wow. Huh, there's J-Paw. He slipped a little. Okay. Nice to meet him. Nice young man. Except for Willowpaw, yeah, who's like, hate him. And and Leafpool, who's like, oh god, I'm about to yell at this kid when we get back to camp. Everyone else, very normal time.
Willowpaw does not even offer help as he scrambled up the steep ridge. Although J-Paw can sense the anxiety sparking from her. She's like, oh my gosh, these are some steep rocks, bro.
She's like watching, being like, don't help. Do not help. Oh god.
She's a doctor. She's like, this is what I do. I help. I always help.
She's like watching his paw.
All I've ever done is help.
Slip slightly, and she's like, a fracture, a break, a sprain.
But J-Paw has made this climb before, so he knows this route. So he is saved from any embarrassment there. At the top of the ridge, he pauses and listens for the voices that had guided him before.
Nah, man, that was way embarrassing. We're not hanging out with you today.
Yeah, all he hears is the wind and the water. He joins the rest of the medicine cats at the edge of the pool. Star Clan, Leafpool calls up to the sky. She brings J-Paw, her apprentice, and prays they accept him as they once accepted her.
Yeah.
Cats settle around him. J-Paw waits for everyone else to fall into sleep before touching his own nose to the water. Do you want to hit us with a cat fact before we go to Star Clan?
Sure. I was about to be like, how lame would it be? Like, they're like, all right, he's accepted his destiny. We don't need to, like, you know, impress him with any magic anymore.
Yep, no more.
Well, folks, I've made a decision.
Yeah?
We're done with the cat memes. But... I don't want to just end it, you know? That'd be lame.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, like, I've been doing it, like, with the books, but we've been doing, I guess, shorter books? Not really. I just...
We did... The last two books we did were longer.
That's true. I'm just done. I'm done with cat memes. The era is over, but I'm gonna...
That's fine.
I'm gonna end it off with a meme, of course. I mean, kinda. It's a cat on the internet. And kind of just, like, what I think is interesting about how the internet works in mysterious ways and how it's not always linear where memes come from. You know, we've seen that in many of the examples I've covered. Because this one, I think it really took off from this tweet from Haley, who is on Twitter, otherwise known as X, at Feeder of Cats. Great, great handle. Who tweeted on April 12th of 2024 this year, quote, "Yesterday I saw an article about a tiny black 6-week-old kitten who was found in a box with 2-week-old kittens, and he was, quote, trying to take care of them as best he could, unquote, and my mental state has been very unstable since, unquote." So that has, like, 4 million views, and a lot of interactions on Twitter. And I actually saw that first on TikTok, you know, just showing how, you know, it's like a big old game of telephone. But there Ain't you go, it though? Maureen, that is the 6-week-old kitten now named or then named Banks, with the 3 black kittens that are all boys. Haley, or Feeder of Cats, did follow up with the Huffington Post article this information came from. And what I thought was interesting is that Huffington Post article was written in May 24th of 2022. So this has gotten a lot of attention recently, but this article is over 2 years old. And the article stems from the Facebook post. This was posted by... the animal rescue group it's in Kansas City, Missouri. It is called KC Pet Project. Like, they made that post where they did the quote of, he's like the most responsible cat or most responsible kitten in the world, the most responsible kitten in the world. And they dived into the story, and I am going to like link the Facebook page and the Pet Project, because obviously I always want to link nonprofits that rescue animals.
Yeah.
I just want to say, a lot of people who have found that post on Facebook have been like harassing this group for updates. Don't do that. Like, it's a story on the internet that has gotten a lot of attention recently, but like, it is a nonprofit of probably entirely volunteers.
Yeah.
You know, I would say just follow it. If they are going to post any updates, I'm sure they would post it. But it's very possible that all of these cats got adopted and they're like, we're not going to bother the private owners of these cats to tell you guys how they're doing. Yeah. But
no one owes that to anybody.
Yeah. But I can tell you that at the time they were doing really great. So a little That's bit of backstory good. Of all the way back at May 2022, what happened was, A guy was outside and he saw this kitten, all 4 of these kittens, and was kind of like, oh, is there a mom? And kind of like waited and watched, like, you know, smart as you should do. And just kind of waited to see if there were any moms about. It had been a while, didn't see any parents, and was like, all right, cool, I got all of them. And brought them in to the rescue. And the rescue found that this kitten, he was named Binks. By the rescue, and his 3 charges, who were all boys, they were named Ollie, Frankie, and Ziggy, by the rescue, and all boys. It was a big. He was only 6 weeks old, and these little guys were only 2 weeks old. So these guys were needle. They needed a mom to give them milk or a human to provide them milk. And unfortunately, Binks could not do that. But he was doing his best to protect them. Like, it's not like, I'm just like imagining him like bringing them like a mouse, being like, here, guys. And they're like, bee. Like, they can't.
I mean, if he's 6 weeks, he's probably barely weaned.
Right. He barely.
Like.
And it really looks like they might be related because they're all black cats, like, or maybe from, I mean, I would really hope that they're not, I mean, cats can't do that. Like, they can get pregnant really quick, but not that quick.
Yeah, and I think what we learned a while ago, their gestation's about 3 months.
Yeah. And I do have good news. They were all doing great. And they were, the little guys were getting bottle fed, so they were getting the nutrition that they needed after Binks obviously couldn't help them with that, but he did make sure they were safe.
Yep.
And all four of them went to the same foster home because
the pet project was like,
we cannot separate them. Are you kidding me?
No.
So, yeah, they were all in pretty fairly good health. And they, you know, obviously were able to, you know, survive for long enough that thankfully the person who found them was able to get them quick enough that, you know, not too much damage was done. Who knows what might have happened? It could have been, you know, two mom cats were pregnant together and, you know, or it could have been, unfortunately, an abandonment situation. Who knows? This kitten might have just gotten lost and be like, ah, fellow children, I'll take care of you. Like, who knows? But good news is they all got fostered together and hopefully all were adopted out to loving homes as they deserved.
Yeah.
I did try to look through the Facebook group just to see if they did have any updates. But obviously, he did have a pet profile on Petfinder. But it is defunct now. Meaning probably adopted.
He was adopted.
Yeah. So I did try to do the way back, but no one did any captures of it, which I it would be crazy to do captures on every single Petfinder profile.
Yeah, that would be wild.
Yeah, so I think for Binks, the brave little guy who took care of these three young black kittens, who I didn't find their pet profiles, but I'm sure they also were adopted. He did it. He darn did it, and he's getting his flowers now. So 2 years later, he's probably lazing about somewhere.
Oh, you can only hope. That's what he deserves.
Exactly. So, yeah, a little short and sweet, but I just wanted to give everyone the backstory of this little kitten meme of why you might see a little black kitten with three even smaller black kittens.
So cute.
The most responsible kitten in the world.
Love him.
The man is 6 weeks old and he already has a 401k and three kids. Like, oh, so yeah,
bless his little heart.
Yeah, and once again, I will link everything. You know, if you're in the Missouri area, definitely check out the KC Pet Project because they seem to have done a fantastic job adopting these guys, and they're still very active on their Facebook. But please don't bother them about this because they're a nonprofit. They don't need to tell us every single thing that happens with these animals.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah, they've been adopted out to other families. You know, they might not even...
Mm-hmm.
No, exactly. And
yeah, they probably, if they even have the records, it's probably really been a while.
I mean, they probably have the records, but, you know, it's just like,
that's hey, like private people
on the internet, you know? It's like, yeah, you don't, nobody owes you their cat pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Although it is very nice when we get them.
Yeah. So maybe the owner of Binks or whatever his name is now, or one of these three kittens will come forward. But if they don't, they don't. And that's okay.
I'm sure they're all doing great.
Yeah.
Well, want to go see God?
I guess. Might as well. We're here.
Well, J-Paw is in Star Clan's hunting grounds instantly. He blinks, adjusting to the shock of sight. And he wonders if Star Clan looks like this for Willowpaw, too. Do they share the same forest when they dream? He listens for her, then searches for her scent. It appears on the breeze, as if drawn to him. J-Paw goes towards her quietly and keeping low, because he somehow knows that he's trespassing. Willowpaw is calling for Mudfur softly, and J-Paw peers around to see her in a clearing. She's smaller than he imagined. Yes, little one, Mudfur greets her by touching his muzzle to hers. J-Paw ducks. They chat about a cat that Willowpaw had treated, and she asks Mudfur if he has any news for RiverClan. He tells her to beware the two legs upstream. Their kits are trying to block the water that feeds the clan. and Willowpaw promises to warn Mothwing. Jaypaw's whiskers tingle. Why didn't Mudfur tell Mothwing himself? Had he and Mothwing argued? Would he only share tongues with Willowpaw now?
I Jaypaw love that he's like, away. It's drama.
Well, because if Willowpaw is dreaming of Mudfur, what is Mothwing dreaming of? Jaypaw tries to find Mothwing's scent, but finds nothing. And he lets himself slide back to the hollow. He opens his eyes and the moon pool is below him. He sees the other medicine cats sleeping around the pool, even himself. So this is kind of his astral projection self.
Okay.
Mothwing is breathing more heavily than the others. Her body twitches while the others lay motionless. Jaypaw focuses on her mind, willing himself into her thoughts.
It's because you're dreaming about his aunt.
He finds himself at the edge of the lake. Mothwing is stalking a frog and pounces on it. She lets it go and watches it hop again. A butterfly flutters above her, and she reaches up to grab it from the air.
I love her so Mothwing, much.
Mothwing holds it close so its wings tickled her nose. She is a treasure.
I couldn't believe I could love her more. I do.
Yep. With a jolt, Jaypaw realizes that this isn't StarClan's hunting grounds.
Yeah, no, duh, dude.
This is the lake. The RiverClan medicine cat was dreaming just an ordinary dream.
He's so gonna, this is like, a revelation to him. He's like, yeah, I know. I take her calls for her.
Basically, so yeah, it's a it's Jaypaw's going to try to solve this mystery, but of course, we know the answer.
It's that Mothwing's an atheist and doesn't pick up the phone. I love finding out the drama as a kid, but there's not really drama.
Yeah, I mean, that's what these kids have been doing, hasn't there?
Yeah.
Well, Jaypaw wonders if any of the other medicine cats are just dreaming. So he's like, is this like, am I
messing up? Am I cool?
Well, he allows himself to flit back to StarClan's hunting grounds, so he can go back and forth as he chooses.
This is crazy, guys.
Yeah. Well, he wants to see the other medicine cats. Find out which ones truly shared with StarClan.
Okay, dude.
Spotted Leaf was right, a rasping purr says. Jaypaw asks what Spotted Leaf said. Well, she warned Yellowfang not to leave him to his own devices for too long. Jaypaw wasn't doing anything. Yellowfang grunts. She's lived long enough to learn the look of mischief on a kit's face. Jaypaw isn't a kit. At her age, they all appear like kits. Yellowfang introduces herself as the medicine cat before Cinderpelt. And he's trying to walk in other cats' dreams, Yellowfang says. So what? She warns him to be careful. A cat with big ears sometimes hears more than he should.
I've missed you.
He's young, and curiosity can be dangerous. Be careful where he treads. Jaypaw bristles and thinks, why is this old flea bag trying to tell him what to do?
Oh my god.
He says Leafpool knows that he can walk in other cats' dreams. She told him it was a gift. It is, Yellowfang agrees. Then why shouldn't he use it? Yellowfang asks if he has claws. Of course.
She wants to fight him?
Then why doesn't he silence her by shredding her with them?
Please! Please!
What a stupid question. He won't attack her. It would be wrong. Who does she think Jaypaw is? She's his ancestor, his elder. And three times your size, Yellowfang adds with amusement.
You just attacked Willowpaw for less. Right?
Yes. But Yellowfang's an ancestor.
I guess.
Yellowfang says there are many reasons they don't use every power they have. Sometimes the warrior code guides them, sometimes instinct, sometimes common sense.
She would know.
Yes. She leans in close to J-Paw. He has a remarkable gift, Yellowfang says. But he must think before he uses it.
Can we define the gift?
Is she calling him stupid?
Yes.
Yellowfang sighs. Kits. She's wasting her breath. And she turns to leave. Wait, J-Paw calls because he wants to solve this Mothwing puzzle right now.
Hey, you know what? He's using his resources.
He tries to ask Yellowfang if she's ever spoken to Mothwing, but she won't give him an answer. Why won't she tell him? Yellowfang says, because if the answers are there, J-Paw will just find them anyways. And she stalks away. Well, J-Paw thinks, if the answers are to be discovered, he'll discover them.
So he's a detective, his sister's a lawyer, and what's,
Lion Paw's a cop.
Aww.
He wants to be a good cop. And he says he can change...
Oh, yeah.
The system. He can't. But he wants to try. Well, J-Paw finds Barkface's scent and follows it. He finds the Wind Clan medicine cat talking with Tall Star. And Tall Star is warning him that the two legs will bring dogs when they bring sheep to eat the new leaf grass.
There's gonna be sheep?
And dogs.
Oh.
Barkface promises to warn One Star. Fur brushes J-Paw's pelt, startling him. Spotted Leaf is beside him.
Of course.
This is not your dream, she says sharply.
I can't believe that this is making me appreciate Spotted Leaf.
Hey.
Honestly, having her in this context, if I had, you know, because... Firestar's quest. Did that already come out?
It would have been being... I think it might have come out after, right after this book, but it would have been written probably pretty much in tandem.
God, I would have hated her characterization in that after reading this. Because I feel like if I had read... Yeah, because it really, like, I never really appreciated her as a character in, like, the first series, but it was really Firestar's Quest that really, like, really put the ick in the icky. So, because, like, that's when she's like, could have been. It's like, no, girl, could have not been. What are you talking about? He was a kid and you were a priest.
To be fair, Leafpool, with Leafpool's perspective, we did get the, oh, she loved Firestar.
True.
Like,
I forgot that did happen in the second series, but.
But not as heavily as Firestar's Quest. Firestar's Quest really took a 2x4 of ick to your face.
Yeah.
But also, Blue Star's Prophecy hadn't been out yet, which made Spotted Leaf a lot older than maybe they intended her to be.
Yeah, well,
so kind of we read these books in an order that set up the ick factor.
I don't know. It's like when she's not in the context of Firestar, she's just kind of a wacky ghost. When she's in the context of Firestar, it's like, oh God, poltergeist.
Yeah, but I mean, and to be fair, in the first series, it's still she dies before he gets his warrior name, you know, being ushered into adulthood.
She's barely characterized, so they just are kind of like having fun with her.
Yeah.
And I'm not having fun.
J-Paw bristles. Everywhere he goes, there are cats telling him what to do. He's only watching. Welcome to schooling, kid.
Yeah.
Spotted Leaf scolds him that he wasn't given this gift to spy on other clans. J-Paw demands to know why he was given this gift at all, then.
I don't think they know,
before
bud.
She can... Do they?
Do they?
Do they?
I doubt it.
Yeah, probably not. Before she can answer, a voice calls his name, and a muzzle nudges his shoulder. It's time to wake up, Leafpool says. J-Paul asked if Leafpool dreamed. Yes.
Pointedly.
And he's curious. But shadows cloud Leafpool's thoughts. He asks what she dreamed about.
He might be powerful, but she's a little stronger.
Mm-hmm.
For now.
A medicine cat does not discuss what StarClan shares with her, unless there's good reason to, Leafpool tells him. And he wonders if that means he shouldn't tell her about Tall Star's warning to Barkface.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of unfair.
But J-Paul will tell Firestar when they get back.
Oh my god, dude, no, tell your mom's mentor.
It's his duty. And his tail trembles with anticipation.
You care about your duty?
Firestar would be impressed.
Oh, well, I mean, that's fair. He's just a young kid.
J-Paw feels Willowpaw's excitement. She's probably dying to pass on Mudfur's message. And he feels her curious gaze on him and wonders if she noticed him eavesdropping on her dream.
I hope she did.
So he turns away quickly. Leafpool tells J-Paw they should get home. Mothwing asks if she has anything important to tell Firestar. Leafpool just says that she wants to be back before the Dawn Patrol leaves. If not, they'll waste their time searching for them before they check the borders. Ugh, these cats and caring about her. As they leave, Mothwing asks how J-Paw's training is going. He says it's okay, and adds that the best bit is sharing with StarClan.
Dude!
He holds his breath, waiting for her reaction.
She's like, cool.
All he gets is an unsatisfying, of course.
She's Mothwing been at this for ages, dude. You're not gonna catch her.
Yeah. She's been doing this longer than you've been alive.
She tricked quite a few people.
Mothwing asks if he's had any tough cases, and J-Paw notices her changing the subject immediately.
Yeah, because she's not new to this.
J-Paw decides to tell her about Stormfur's scratch and how he can't seem to keep the poultice on it. Mothwing asks if he's tried putting catchweed over the poultice. He'll try it. Mothwing says it helps to share ideas.
Yeah, because she's a good
and
doctor.
And J-Paw asks innocently if StarClan gave her good advice. But Mothwing is already hurrying to catch up with Willowpaw. So, nice try, kid, but you're going to have to be a lot smoother than that.
And we know you're not smooth.
He's baby.
Yeah, no, he's
maybe
baby.
He'll grow.
It'd be crazy if he was slick enough to pull that off.
He's not going to get slick. He's just going to get even more bristly.
Ah, little cactus.
Ah, we love him. So the medicine cats say their goodbyes and go their separate ways. J-Paw wonders if Leafpool knows about Mothwing.
Yeah.
Of course she does.
Dating.
That's her girlfriend. So, and J-Paw tries to ask questions about the other cat's dreams, but Leafpool just keeps insisting that each medicine cat's relationship with StarClan is different.
Yeah.
And it's not something they discuss.
Yeah, dude, you were literally told by Yellowfang to knock it off. and by your mentor to knock it off.
Yep. Sharing tongues with StarClan is the most important part of being a medicine cat, isn't it?
Nope.
J-Paw asks.
Nope.
Any cat can learn to heal their clanmates, but a true medicine cat has to be able to pass on messages from StarClan.
Wow. You're a brat.
Leafpool tells him firmly that there's more to being a good medicine cat than interpreting signs. She breaks into a run. The Dawn Patrol will be heading out soon.
I love that these mentors deal with their problems by running away.
Right? Excuse me?
Where did they learn this?
I don't... Firestar.
Oh, yeah. Firestar loves a good run.
Although, I would say Brackenfur is running
into?
Towards problems.
Into?
Yeah. Whereas Leafpool is running away from this particular problem.
Yes. But can we blame her? No.
No. Well, J-Paw thinks that Leafpool knows more than she's telling him. Like,
of course yeah, she does. She wants someone to tell you the first school. Week that she's helping someone fake their career slightly.
Yeah.
That's a secret. They make it back to camp. Deathbed.
Yeah.
She's technically doing double duty, kid. You should be grateful.
Well, they make it back to camp just as the Dawn Patrol is preparing to leave. Rambleclaw is pacing, but J-Paw senses his relief seeing the medicine cats return safe. And now was the time to share what he'd learned.
Oh, God.
J-Paw calls to Firestar and hurries up to his leader's den. Firestar and Sandstorm wake, startled, because, you know, the Dawn Patrol hasn't left yet. No! J-Paw says he had a dream about StarClan that WindClan would be attacked by dogs. J-Paw says it would be a great chance to take some of WindClan's territory. They'll be distracted on the other side of the ridge. They could take the strip of trees, the stream.
Bro, you...
They could become stronger than the other clans. And ShadowClan would never dare invade them again.
Oh, man. You don't...
So that's...
You don't know your...
You haven't been here long.
No. Have you met your grandfather?
Apparently not. Hey, Firestar, you didn't visit your grandkids enough.
Like, ever, apparently. Because I feel like it takes two seconds to hang out with you and be like, yeah, okay.
Firestar asks warily if StarClan told him this.
J-Paw
nods. About the dog attack? Yes. Sandstorm fixes J-Paw with her steady gaze. Is he sure that is what StarClan meant? That they should use the dog attack against their neighboring clans? Why else would they let him hear Tallstar's warning? J-Paw asks. Firestar says they won't take advantage of WindClan's troubles. J-Paw argues that StarClan let him share this so that they could take advantage of it. Is he sure that they didn't just want to warn him about dogs nearby? J-Paw snaps that they weren't there. How would they know what StarClan meant? J-Paw marches out of the den and bounds back to the medicine den. Why don't they believe him? He thought furiously. He's the one who shared with StarClan. What's the point of being a medicine cat if they don't listen to him?
Oh, God.
Which is like, J-Paw, you're too powerful. StarClan didn't let you do anything.
Yeah.
You know?
You were jumping through dreams like it was Inception. Like, no one invited you.
Dog attack! Dog attack! White Wings Yowl jerks Lionpaw from his nest. There's no sign of dogs in camp. Warriors pour from their dens, panicked. Whitewing gasps that they aren't on ThunderClan territory. They're on WindClan territory. They were patrolling the border when they heard dogs barking and cats shrieking. Thornclaw and Cloudtail went to investigate. Lionpaw just hopes that Heatherpaw is okay.
Did they not get the message?
They probably did. Maybe they weren't expecting it so soon.
That's fair.
Either that or, you know, they see dogs, but you can only be so prepared.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe, you know, they could be keeping a lookout, but they still got to deal with it.
Yeah, true.
J-Paw flashes a triumphant look to Firestar. Does he believe him now? Lionpaw stares in surprise. Did his brother know this would happen? Firestar glares at J-Paw. This isn't about him proving a point. Cats might die today. Firestar decides they need to send a patrol to help Wind Clan. Spider-Lake asks if he's forgotten the last time they fought dogs. Sandstorm says grimly that they lost warriors that day.
I don't remember. When was
that? Okay, so they're referring to the dogs that Tiger Claw lured.
Yeah, that was a crazy situation. That was not like...
Yeah, and like, we lost Swiftpaw, but like, on the actual like day of like the kind of dog attack that was coming to them, Tiger Claw killed somebody, and then Blue Star threw herself off a cliff with the dogs. But that's all we lost.
Yeah. Also,
like, honestly, Spider-Leg was not alive, but probably heard stories.
Yeah. I don't know what Spider-Leg's talking about. Everyone's just like, no,
but his grandma was killed by Tiger Claw to lure the dogs there. So he's probably heard that story.
Fair.
J-Paw growls that it's up to Wind Clan to look after themselves. Firestar glances to Brightheart, and they remind us that she lost half of her face from a vicious dog attack.
Great.
Firestar asks her gently what she thinks they should do. Brightheart holds her head high, although Lionpaw sees her tremble. They lost nearly everything when the dogs attacked them. They can't let the same happen to Wind Clan. So that's what Brightheart has decided.
Thanks, Brightheart. Also, what are you talking about?
What?
We just talked about the dog attack and how it was like, I was like, all right, but...
Well, I mean, they did go through a lot.
They did. It was a lot.
And she lost half of her face.
She lost her face.
Yeah. So yeah, it was tough.
Yeah. Fair.
Dustpelt points out that if they go, they risk leading the dogs here. Firestar says they could find their way here anyways. And Brambleclaw agrees. Wind Clan territory is too close to their own.
Once again, what is up with... Did they say that these dogs were just coming to, like, herd the sheep? What is wrong with these dogs?
Train your dogs better.
We've talked about this. It's like, it's crazy how dogs are characterized in this.
It is
just
a
like
little.
Very anti-dog errands.
Although if my dog wasn't on a leash and was running around and saw a cat.
Yeah.
Goodness, he'd be so stoked.
But I'm just going to say most. No.
These dogs are herding dogs. They have a high prey drive.
They're going to hunt. But I'm just thinking like.
I mean, these are herding dogs.
Right. That's what I was thinking. These are herding dogs.
Yeah.
And I mean, that doesn't mean that they won't. If they run into a bunch of cats. Who knows?
Yeah.
Bets are off.
Firestar looks to each of his warriors. They will be risking their lives to save Wind Clan, but they will also be defending Thunder Clan from a deadly enemy. And this seems to rally the warriors into going, so now they're all like, yeah, let's get them. Brambleclaw wants Ashfur and Graystripe. They fought dogs before, and he needs their experience. And fought dogs is generous. They ran away from dogs.
Okay.
That was because remember we had a really fun relay race to the cliff.
That did happen. I forgot who was all involved in that.
But they didn't actually fight the dogs. The only one who's really fought the dogs was, I mean, I guess Firestar did. At least Firestar.
He's like, you guys have been around dogs and didn't just, like, poop your pants and cry, so that's as good as we're gonna get in this group.
Like, Brightheart probably fought the dogs.
Yeah.
But, you know, she might not want to relive
very
that,
valid
so we're not
to,
gonna
like,
ask
not
her.
Volunteer her to go and do that. Hey, go relive your worst day, probably.
So we'll take Ashfur and Graystripe as the next best thing. Birchfall and Spider-Leg can come too. What about me? Lionpaw asks. Brambleclaw glances to Ashfur. Is he ready? Ashfur nods. Okay, Brambleclaw says. He calls to Millie next. She knows about dogs from living in Two-Leg Place.
I lived with a small Millie one. Nods.
Well, she's not afraid of them and knows how easy they are to trick. Brambleclaw tells her to come with them. And Berrypaw, too.
It is.
And he'll need...
It's crazy with all the, like, the kitty pet and kitty pet adjacent people we have in the clans. No one's ever had a pet dog. No one's had a teacup poodle. Like...
Well, remember when Cloud... Actually, when Cloudtail was kidnapped by Two Legs, remember when he was eating stuff? He was in a house with a little dog.
Oh.
And Firestar was like, what? But Cloudtail just, like, ignored him.
What? Aaron, Cloudtail was like,
that's
on.
Not an issue. But these are working dogs. Yeah. These are dogs with a job. This is a different kind of dog.
These are dogs with a blog.
Yeah.
It's a Disney Channel original TV show.
Yeah, I know. Well, he'll need Whitewing to show them which way Thornclaw and Cloudtail went. Hollypaw asks her father, hopefully, what about her? But Brambleclaw shakes his head. He needs her to stay with Brackenfur to guard the camp. Brambleclaw asks Firestar if One Star will even accept their help.
Firestar thinks so. That's how we do this.
Well, One Star is proud, but he's no fool.
Dogs! Do they show up and One Star's just like, there's dogs!
Ashfur? Ferncloud had emerged from the nursery to go to her brother. Lionpaw knew that their mother, Brindleface, had been killed by Tigerstar to give the dogs a taste for cat blood.
Oh, wow, they brought it up.
So he's heard of this. Ferncloud must only have the worst memories of dogs. She rubs her cheek against her brother's and tells him to be careful. Ashfur tells her not to forget. He's outrun a dog pack before. And Ferncloud reminds him that he had her at his side then. And now he has her and her kits to protect, Ashfur says, licking her between the ears. He won't let her down.
This is like a charming moment. We don't get a lot of these with Ashfur.
We don't get enough of them with, like, side characters
or
like
siblings.
This. So I do like to include it. Yeah, yeah. A lot of times it's like, well,
they're related, by the way.
Right? Or it's like, oh, Brightheart, your brother's out there getting chased by dogs maybe right now. How does that make you feel? Like, I don't, you know, we're not going to talk about it. I guess her husband's also out there. Her husband and her brother right now went towards the dogs.
God.
I'm sure she's worried.
Sure, she just.
But yeah, we get this nice
little
moment.
I'm sure she's like, well, I know we couldn't have stopped them. I'm genuinely not surprised, actually.
Yeah. And Cloudtail's probably like, vengeance for my wife.
For my lady, I must prove it's my love for her.
And she's like, oh gosh,
that's
please.
That's the opposite of what I want. Why are you like this?
But we did get a nice little sibling moment.
Yeah. It's nice to see some humanization is the wrong word, but it's nice to see a sweet moment with Ashfur.
Yeah. Well, the cats chosen for the patrol dash out of camp behind Brambleclaw. And Lionpaw is soaked by the time they reach WindClan territory.
Oh, is it raining?
Because it is raining.
Oh.
It's raining.
It's like, why is he soaked? Is he can't sweat?
They hear a distant howl and a panic meow shrieks from the heather. They need to lead them away from camp. This way, Whitewing says, taking the lead. Lionpaw smells Thornclaw scent as they charge up the moor.
I haven't forgotten you, Thornclaw. You're rude to my brother.
A shaggy black and white shape streaks across the grass ahead. Lionpaw recognizes Crowfeather, just two tail lengths ahead of the dog.
Hey, I know you.
And to his horror, Heatherpaw is with him.
Why is that scary?
Because Lionpaw thinks she's cute.
Oh, I forgot about that. I forgot that happened.
And there's a dog snapping at her heels.
Oh, no!
Brambleclaw halts and says they're leading it away from camp. but a second dog pelts in the other direction. Two more WindClan warriors are leading them away. The second dog begins to yelp louder as it closed in on the cats.
Relay race two!
Lionpaw watches as it says Thornclaw and Dustpelt, but I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be Thornclaw and Cloudtail because...
How did Dustpelt get here?
Yeah, I don't think we brought him. So Thornclaw and Cloudpelt dart from the rock straight for the dog. And they break apart as the dog draws near. Thornclaw ducks into the rocks after the dog snaps at him, leaving the dog spinning in confusion.
Oh!
WindClan cats and Cloudtail race away from it. Millie growls that she told them dogs were dumb. They can only think of one thing at a time. Brambleclaw wants to give them as much to think about as they can. So he instructs Ashfur and Lionpaw to lead the dogs towards them. They'll ambush from above.
Okay, crazy, crazy Lionpaw's idea, Dad, but okay.
Lionpaw's heart twists with fear and excitement. No, Ashfur says firmly. It'll be safer to face the dogs on open land. Brambleclaw narrows his eyes at Ashfur. Ashfur tenses, but meets his gaze unflinchingly.
I'm gonna be honest. Ashfur, I don't think Ashfur is wrong here.
Ashfur insists that he wouldn't lead Lionpaw into a trap. They need room to dodge out of the way.
The dogs are bigger. Your wife, but I don't want to kill your kid. I want to adopt them and kill you.
Yikes. Well, the dogs are bigger and faster, but they're more agile. Lionpaw hears a low growl in Brambleclaw's throat, but then he nods. He tells Ashfur to take Lionpaw and Birchfall to catch up with Crowfeather and Heatherpaw. Together, they may be able to put up a fight. He'll take Spiderleg and Berrypaw to help Nightcloud and Owlwhisker. He tells Graystripe and Millie to look for more dogs.
Those are sick names, by the way.
Then find the camp.
Nightcloud and Owlwhisker?
Yeah.
Yeah, like those.
That's pretty cool. Those are good. Just wait. Then, so Graystripe and Millie are going to look for more dogs. Then find the camp and help any cat who needs it.
Okay, what I was going to say is, I was going to, Dad, what? Why do you hate Uncle Ashfur? Please don't call him that. Please, God, don't call him that.
Ashfur looks at Lionpaw and is like, hey, you know your dad's dad, like, killed my mom? To lead a pack of dogs to kill us all. Awkward.
It'd be even more awkward if Ashfur ever found out that he was considering hanging out with that guy on purpose.
Or well, not Lionpaw's dad. Lionpaw's grandpa. Did I say Lionpaw's dad? Lionpaw's grandpa.
Still.
Killed Ashfur's mom.
Pretty rough.
Yeah. Awkward.
It's like there's already like some awkwardness, and it's crazy that Lionpaw's picking up on it. Like, you know, it must be tense.
Oh, right.
How does anyone not talk about it constantly? Because everyone's there. Everyone knew it happened. Like, can you imagine? I know that we've talked about this before, but like everyone saw them be like a thing, and we're like, oh, okay. And then they saw them like break up, and then they saw, okay, Ashfur and Erlo, okay, all right. And then okay, then that broke up. Okay. Okay, they're back together. Like, I would have, I'd be gossiping like crazy with the elders.
Yeah. Brenna, it's time for Dawn Patrol. Tangletongue, it's time for Dawn Patrol. And it's like, sorry, I'm busy with Mousefur.
Yeah, me and Mousefur we have twigs.
Me and Mousefur are trash talking everybody and discussing all of the clan gossip.
Meanwhile, I have like spiderweb twigs as I'm trying to like map out the love triangle. Just like, it's a triangle.
Mousefur's like, it's just a triangle. There's like, only I don't three have points. And you're like, wait. All right. I think we're going to find out if this is successful next week.
Let's see if this dog plan has any dog on legs.
Oh, gosh.
That didn't really work, but I think it's the best we're going to get.
No. It's the best we're going to get.
Folks, if you want the best that you're going to get, You should follow us on social media. We're at WCWITcast on Instagram and Twitter. Or you can shoot us an email at WCWITcast@gmail.com. You may also be interested in financially supporting us. You can check out our Ko-fi or Ko-fi. It is linked in the episode description. But the best way to support us is to share it with a friend and say, hey, if you're a dog lover... Not this one. You gotta love cats. Must love cats.
I love cats. Must love cats. Because I'm Ember Heart.
And I'm Tangletongue.
And this has been Warrior Cats.
What is that?